We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Touchdown to club. We're safe.
Thank you so much.
A massive crowd has gathered here.
We want to be freedom. We want to be free people.
The Italian cruise ship capsized.
Nearly 23% unemployment.
Joseph Kony. Viral on social media sites.
Outrage stirs social media.
My name is Sandra Flook.
The Affordable Care Act.
Legitimate rape.
This is a very massive play by Facebook.
The largest IPO in tech history.
Yes, he's really breastfeeding in the picture.
One article has the entire country talking.
The president says he now believes that same-sex marriage should be legal.
We now know the name of the suspect blamed for the movie theater shooting spree.
Shooting at the Sikh temple in Wisconsin.
Police now tell CNN people have been shot in front of the Empire State Building.
Bath salts. Jerry Sandusky sentenced to a minimum of 30 years in prison.
An iconic statue honoring the late Penn State football coach Joe Paterno is gone.
The British people are going gaga for the Diamond Jubilee.
Flying squirrel, fierce five.
Ryan Lochte.
Someone sold photographs of Britain's Prince Harry naked during a strip billiards game.
It's one of the hottest novels around.
What went wrong? Why now?
Isaac is forcing some changes at the Republican convention.
What do you mean, shut up?
Thank you.
Christopher Stevens and three other embassy staff, they are dead.
We will bring those to justice who committed these murders.
All the effects of Hurricane Sandy already.
Sandy's carved a path of destruction across all along the eastern seaboard.
We can't fully secure the crane until the wind dies down.
Oh my God, we're doing another story on this? Gangnam Style.
Call me maybe.
Tan Mom.
Honey Boo Boo.
Live picture from Los Angeles from Endeavor. The shuttle rolling down the streets of LA.
Let's take a look at the man at the center of the scandal, General David Petraeus.
Israel responded to fresh rocket attacks from Gaza.
Despair in Syria has gone on for 20 months. What are these red line warnings talk?
CNN projects that Barack Obama will be re-elected president of the United States. Terror at an elementary school in Connecticut.
20 children dead. 6 adults are also dead.
What a year. That was all jam-packed into a year. Some of those things you looked at and you went, that happened this year? I thought that was like last decade. I got a question for you. What will this year be known for? Will it be the year that Jerry Sandusky trial revealed horror, that innocent young people were molested, kids that had not done anything were just tortured, and they'll have to live with that the rest of life? Is that, it's going to be known for that? Is it going to be the sad end to a pop icon like Whitney Houston? What is the picture of this year? Is it an angry election? Unrest in Libya? An attack on a U.S. embassy? A hurricane named Sandy? A Mayan apocalypse that fizzled? A fiscal cliff that we still don't know if we're going to go over? The Olympics, the bad economy. What is it about this year that we're going to know this was the year that this happened? Years become defined by their happenings. 2001, what happened in 2001? 9/11 happened. In 2005, a hurricane named Katrina happened. 2004, on the other side of the world, a lot of people were killed by a tsunami, you know that. We'll go a little bit further in the past. Let's see, who knows this one? 1963, JFK was assassinated. 1941, Pearl Harbor. It's amazing how years can be lumped into one happening. One event can just define an entire year. How many remember the year you graduated? Do you have to think long and hard? Oh, I wonder. No, you know that number immediately. The year you were married, fellas, you better remember that one. The year you had your first child, your first job, first year you drove a car. These happenings, they define those years for us. How many remember the year you lost someone? And people will, you know, you'll try to figure out when things happened, and you will pull out actual happenings in your life. Well, I remember that this year that they died, so that must have happened afterwards. So you're actually no longer using a calendar. You're using this happened here. You're using happenings. Years become defined by the events that we live. Far too often, our years are marked by negative events. Would you agree with that? Can you say amen to that? That's just far too often. It was this kind of year for the nation of Israel in Israel chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Sometimes your computer freaks out on you. All right, I got it. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. This is the year. This is the event. This is the happening by which we define that entire year. I'm sure a lot more things happened that year, but for Isaiah, this is what defined that year, and all of Israel understood that. So who was King Uzziah? Well, let's learn a little bit. He was the king of Judah. If you don't know, that's the southern portion of Israel. There was a whole big problem, and Israel actually divided into two nations, and it was a real mess. He was king of that southern portion of Israel. He reigned for a long time, 52 years. His reign was marked by prosperity. It was amazing all that he was able to accomplish. He had inherited a huge mess, and he made a marvel out of it. His leadership spread, his fame abroad. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 8 says this: the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. No, we can just stop there, because the Ammonites, they hated everybody, especially Israel. And here they are, they're coming up to the king of Judah, and they're giving him tribute. It reads on, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt, because he had become very powerful. He had inherited a dying city of Jerusalem, but he rebuilt it. Verse 9 says this: Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle of the wall. And he fortified them. He had taken this city that was a dump, that everyone was going, oh my goodness, remember the good old days? And he took it and he rebuilt that city. Verse 10, he also built towers in the desert. This guy was a builder. He said, we're not only going to build towers in our city, we're going to branch out. We're going to push out the borders beyond our wall, and we're going to start building outside of this wall. We're not going to live in this land with fear. We're going to build towers in the desert so enemies can't just sneak in. We're going to see them, and we're going to kill them. This guy was a visionary. He dug many cisterns because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plain. He had people working his fields and vineyards and in the hills, in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. He invested in Israel's land. He invested in its livestock. He invested in the soil. There are only a handful of kings of Israel who were known as anything more than a train wreck of leadership. It's not like there's a long, big list of great kings of Israel. They basically asked for it for a king, and it was a mess. David came along, it was pretty good, and then you have Solomon, and it got wham. It went really bad, really forever. And this guy is a bright spot. It goes on, verse 11. Uzziah had a well-trained army. Verse 12, Uzziah provided shields, spears, helmets, coats of armor, bows, and sling stones for the entire army. If you know anything about Israel's history, you know that this was a big deal. There was once a time that Israel fielded an army, and they had exactly two swords. This guy fielded the entire army with whatever weaponry they needed. He trained them. This was a great king. Uzziah not only fielded this army, he trained this army. And they were well known throughout the world. This was Uzziah's army, and they are not to be messed with. This is King Uzziah. Verse 15, in Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful men. Whoa, wait a second. It's like this guy can't not do anything. He can do anything. He's like MacGyver here. Verse 15, look at this. In Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful men for use on the towers and on the corner defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. If it wasn't enough to be a great leader, if it wasn't enough to be a great leader of men of war, wasn't enough to invest in the land and in the livestock and in that city. This guy was an inventor. He was a visionary inventor. It is believed by historians that King Uzziah invented the first automatic weapons in the world. He built arrow guns that would fire a stream of arrows at the enemy. Can you imagine being the first few people to see that being used against you? How terrifying that would be. You know, you're marching into battle. There are towers out in the middle of the desert. And like, these silly people, they built a tower out here. We're just going to go steal some cattle. And like, and it's like, what is that? And then you're dead. Imagine that would be shocking. He made improvements on the catapult. This guy was amazing. Verse 15, his fame spread far and wide. And I think you can understand why. As good as Uzziah's story is, he's dead. Chapter 6, verse 1. And it ends tragically, and it ends suddenly, and we don't have time to go over that today, so I'm really sorry. You can read about that in the last half of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Study up on it. Figure out how that happened. But for now, let's just say this. This great heralded king who pulled Israel, the kingdom of Judah, out of the mucky muck, he's dead. After he had served 52 years, he's dead. He had brought them back from a decimated state, from a laughing stock, and he brought them to a place of authority. But now he's dead, and he's gone. And this was a big happening, and it defined the entire year for Israel. The prophet Isaiah, I'll remind you, he declares, Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, a nation was left questioning about what the future will hold. They were asking, what would the next king be like? Will he be a disaster like Uzziah's predecessors? Would he be a good leader? What should we expect? Who's going to be the king? Everyone wanted to know what this meant for their future. Am I talking to anyone today that has gone through a tough year? Am I talking to anyone today that's been, their year's been defined by a negative happening? Why don't you just raise your hand? It's just, go ahead, raise your hand. Have there been things this year that gave you pause? Things this year that made you second guess. Has there been a happening so bad in your life that it will always remind you that the year was 2012 when that happened? The year that fill in the blank happened. Happenings are often all we can see. That's true, right? If this has been your year, I've come to offer you some hope in the story of Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah saw more than just the happening. Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, it goes on, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. In this terrible happening, Isaiah saw something amazing. He saw the Lord. The first seven words of Isaiah 6 are about Uzziah dying. But then Isaiah only talks about seeing the Lord from then on. So let me just stop right there. Don't go your whole life talking about this happening. He doesn't go back to this, oh, by the way, I just remind you that he died and it was really bad. No, when he sees the Lord, it changes the story. It changes the chapter. And we're going to find out it changes the life of Isaiah. When you see the Lord, everything changes. Amen?
Amen.
Are you tired of being held captive by that bad thing? You need to see the Lord. Is that hurt still all that you can talk about? You need to see the Lord on his throne. After Isaiah sees the Lord, that hurt doesn't matter as much anymore. Now, it doesn't mean the hurt's not there. That hurt definitely happened. It doesn't mean we simply forget that act, forget like it didn't happen, and just put on a happy face when we're dying inside. Does not mean that. It means that something can happen that's greater than the hurt of that happening. And that it can change our focus. It can give us something to hope in. It can give us something that we find peace in. We need to see the Lord. In the midst of a terrible happening, God can be seen.
Amen.
That's our word for you today. I don't care what kind of year you've had, God can be seen. I don't care what kind of day you've had, God can be seen. He can be seen here, right now.
Yes, that's right.
In the midst of terrible happening, God is still on his throne. When something terrible comes along, a lot of kings, earthly kings, the heat will get turned up and they'll go into hiding. Saddam Hussein was hiding in the ground because he's running for his life. He's scared to death. This king, when bad things happen, he's still on his throne. The worst things could happen in this world. They will not chase him from that throne. You can count on it. He's on his throne. No one else is ever going to be on that throne. The worst news cannot knock God from his throne.
Amen.
And he's high and lifted up. God is not diminished by that bad thing. God is not suddenly smaller. God is not suddenly minuscule. He is still high and he is lifted up. The train of his robe fills the temple. His robe, that represents his glory. The glory of God, that's symbolic in his robe. And it's filling the temple. Isaiah was seeing the glory of God overflowing the temple. It's even more symbolic because we know that because of the Holy Spirit, we are his temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? So when we're talking about this train of his robe filling the temple. That still happens. We still see that happen. Redemption Church, we still see Jesus Christ filling people's lives. We see the Spirit of God filling people's lives. And no matter what hell has hit the earth this last year, that hasn't stopped.
Amen. That's true.
God will fill out this rented temple here at 903 West Parker Road with his presence. We sang about that today, and he was filling this place with his presence as you were worshiping and singing. He still does that, but he does something much more. You are that temple, and if you don't know it, he wants to fill you with his glorious presence. He wants to do it today. He wants to change your life. You could see the Lord today, and he fills your life like he's never felt it before. You can go right on focusing on Uzziah if you want to. Or you can be filled with the presence of the Holy One. You get to choose that today. Happenings are often all we can see. So is the happening all you can see today? What's all this stuff, you might be asking? Nothing really bad's happened to me, Chris Fluitt. This message is kind of dark and it's really not for me today. Well, I want to tell you this message is still for you. If you've had the greatest year, if 2012 has been the greatest year for you, praise God. I'm thankful for you. And I wanted to tell you that this message is still for you because the death of Uzziah is just a happenstance in this story. It actually bears bearing on the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. King Uzziah's death had nothing to do with the Lord being high and lifted up. The bad happening in your life, it can't increase the Lord and it cannot decrease the Lord. He's at his own thermostat, if you will. He cannot be altered by those things. All right, he can't be altered at all. Malachi 3 and 6 says this, I, the Lord, do not change. Amen. The same glorious vision that Isaiah saw, it was already happening before he saw it. Amen. It was already happening while Uzziah was still alive. That vision didn't appear because of the death of the king. God doesn't change based on circumstance.
That's right.
Now, you might be sitting here today going, big deal, I know that already. I know that we know that already. We all know that already. However, our worship seems like it doesn't know that. Our excitement level for God doesn't seem to know that because we let it take us up and we let it take us down because the happening that's going on around us, the event that is taking place on us. And suddenly we think, well, where is God? God isn't here because of this happening. I'm telling you, no, no, no. No matter what event is happening in your life, you need to know that God is on the throne.
Amen.
He's on the throne. That's never going to change. You can't change it. The biggest, baddest enemy you can find won't be able to change it.
Right.
Hebrews 13:8, if you know it, quote it with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God doesn't change based on circumstance.
No.
But we do. Our prayer life. It has its ups and it has its downs, right? Our attitude. I think all the wives in the church just want amen in their heart. Amen. Our attitudes, they aren't that consistent, are they? Our faithfulness. Our care for each other. Our generosity. And what do we usually blame this on? Circumstance. Well, you know, I've been having all this stuff go on. Well, you know, I'm having trouble at work. You know, my car. Well, that's a good excuse, actually. I want you to know that I've heard sermons before that said, and I quote, "Some of you need King Uzziah to die so you can just see the Lord." Yikes. Absolutely. Ouch. Heard throughout the congregation here. I'm telling you no to that statement, because Jesus Christ, our unchanging God, he is available all the time. He didn't, they take Uzziah out, bury him in the ground, and suddenly, poof, God appears on his throne. No, he was already there. And he's available all the time. You just need to look up. You just need to see him, because he hasn't moved at all. Amen. He's still right on the throne. So I ask you, who or what is your Uzziah? I'm talking to people that this is the year. This is the year that you lost your job. There are people in this room today. You lost your job this year, and it was hectic. Some of you are still looking for that job, and we are praying for you. We feel for you. We are not belittling this situation. It was hell that you went through, and you're still going through, looking for this job in this tough economic time. There are people in this room that you feel like your dream died this year. There are people that you struggled so financially. There are people in this room that you realize your relationship was in trouble. Your relationship with a friend, with a family member, maybe your husband or wife. You're sitting in this room and you realize this year that it's in trouble. This could be the year that you lost someone you really cared about. This could be the year that you were sick. The year that you felt stupid. What year isn't that one? The year that you wasted. The year that you didn't follow through. The year you didn't see the results you wanted. This is that year. Welcome. You've got like a day and a half more of it. So let's get real for a second. I'm talking Redemption Church. This year is always going to be known to us that are here as the year that Kevin Burgess resigned from Redemption Church. The board and staff received a call on a Thursday, and we found out through a little meeting that Kevin was going on a 90-day leave of absence. And it turned out that he never returned from that leave of absence. He resigned. And that happened early this year, in April. It's a big deal when a founding pastor just walks away from a church unexpected. It's a huge deal whenever a spiritual leader that speaks into your life is taken from you. And we were all left going, what do we do next, God? We were at that moment. What do we do next? Thankfully, we didn't have much time to worry about that, because there was also the subject of, oh, your lease is coming up. And suddenly we're going, oh, well, what do we do about that, God? And so we're trying to work out this lease, and we're calling them up, trying to stay in this same spot that we were at, and we're praying about it, and we're talking with them, and all of us, to a man, we really wanted to stay in that space. That was what we wanted to do, and that was this year, and we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we called and called and called, and every door shut on us. What do you want us to do next? God, this is really the year that King Uzziah is dying right around us. It felt just like that. Everyone was doing their best, and we did really good to put on a happy face, because we know that our hope is in the Lord. We knew that as we're walking through it. But let me tell you, you look this guy in the eye, let me tell you, we were worried and we were unsure. And we were calling on God, just saying, God, you got to tell us what to do. The year 2012. This was the year that King Uzziah died a little bit for me. But it was also the year that I saw the Lord. We saw the Lord high and lifted up regardless. Regardless of the worry that we were going through, he just kept showing up. We would come to staff meetings and we would marvel at each other and we would say, how did we have that many visitors at church on Sunday? That was crazy. Don't they know that we might be dying as a church? Don't they know this? No, not so at all. The Lord was showing up. He's high and lifted up. He's on his throne. Woo. In a time where we're going, okay, God, I'm having these prayer times with God. I'm like, God, if you're telling me you want me to go, I'll go. I'll leave this church if you want me to. I don't want to, but I'll leave this church if you want me to. I want to follow your will for my life. Everything is looking so bleak, God. So if I went on the circumstance right now, I would be out of here because it looks bleak and it looks scary and it looks unsure and it doesn't look comfortable like it did a few months ago. And all of these thoughts are happening. But these people just kept coming in the door. And people got baptized. And people started coming to new faith in Jesus Christ. And people, new people, and let's go here. Some people left. Some people did leave. We aren't mad about it. We love them still. By the way, we love Kevin Burgess. Kevin Burgess, if you're watching this video, we love you. We love the Burgess family. We're so worried, but he just kept showing up. He just kept showing up in the ministry of this church. He kept showing up. We saw God's faithfulness like we never saw it before. It was always there, but we just never just saw it. Like Isaiah 6:1, oh, there he is seeing it. We saw the faithfulness of families in this church. We saw people come up to us and say, we're here. And then they did more than that. They showed that they were here. We saw ministry coming up. We saw the Lord high and lifted up in new places. We saw ministry come from different people that everyone was like, really, they're preaching today? Marshall Blessing preached in this church. I'll never forget the first time he preached. He's like, whoa. Where did that come from? This is a new thing. It's not a new thing. It's just the Lord. You're seeing him. He was sitting on his throne, and now you're seeing him. All glory to God. And you've seen that happening time after time and person after person. In the middle of a desperate situation, we didn't really turn it around at all. We just simply saw the Lord. He was always right here. He will always be right here. And he is right here right now. Amen. Look at somebody. Say these words. Choose your happening. You get to choose the happening that will define your year. If it truly is going to define your year, you get to choose what that is. Someone else doesn't just come in and say, this is what your whole year was about. No, does not work that way. You get to choose. We can't help everything that happens in this life. We can't help every circumstance, but we can choose what will affect us and what we'll put our hope in and what we'll put our focus in. You can let Uzziah be the happening of your year. Isaiah let seeing the Lord become the happening. Amen. And it changed his focus from inward to outward. It changed his entire life. I'm just going to read this part. Isaiah 68:6-9. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, ah. First you see him. Then you hear him. Whom shall I send? The Lord says. And who will go for us? And I said, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And God said, go and tell this people. Isaiah, and I'm coming to a close. Not going to be long here. Isaiah and that whole nation went through this awful circumstance. Went through a scary circumstance. An uncomfortable circumstance. But he sees the Lord. And he hears the Lord. And in the middle of that moment, God calls him. And from that moment on, he's known as the prophet Isaiah. I'm about to open up these altars because we do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We've worshiped together. We have received the word of God together. We're going to come to this altar today and we're going to talk to God together. I want you to come to this place today. I want you to understand that the circumstance doesn't define a single thing. God showed up and the circumstance was there was nothing. The world was just void. And he just spoke into it. And the world created. Isaiah's circumstance, it felt void and full of nothing, but God showed up and he spoke, and guess what happened? God has spoken today. I'm not saying that God has spoken through me. I'm just saying the word of God. It is clearly spoken today. And it will do a creative, powerful thing in your life. Have you had enough of that happening? Are you ready for what God can do? Are you ready to see him high and lifted up? I want you to stand on your feet. I don't want you to wait one more moment. I want you to come to this place. David is going to sing. He's going to worship. And I want you to just come to this altar. Make this your time. Make this your moment where you just see him lifted up. Make a new happening right here. A new circumstance. God, Lord, you come. You be the event right now of 2012, God. You come into this place,
Thank
God.
You for joining us. Right. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.